Hello and welcome everyone to our week 4 prayer call for the 31 Days of Prayer at Living by Design Ministries. I'm excited to be here with you for another call. It has been such a joy to connect with you guys in this manner, and it's just been really fun, highlight of my week. And this week is going to be just as good as the past weeks. I've invited a good friend and member of the Living by Design Board of Directors, Mike Altsteel, to join me. And Mike is one of the most enthusiastic, loving, compassionate Christian men I know, and I'm excited to share him with you all today. But before I introduce Michael, I want to tell the story of how he and I came to know one another. And it's kind of a great story because Mike and his wife, Leah, when they had just come back from college and settled in Rapid City, invited my brother and his fiance to a Bible study in their home. And I got to tag along. And Mike, I couldn't have been more than, 13, 14, 15? Do you remember?
Yeah, that probably seems about right. I mean, you had to be right in that age range. Yes.
So I was a teenager. They were freshly out of college, newlyweds, and we did a summer Bible study together. And honestly, I do not remember what Bible study we did, but I remember feeling loved and cared for. And that was the first time that Mike and I got to know one another. And then our paths just kept crossing through life and ministry. We both trained at Christian Life Ministries in their biblical counseling program. And Mike went on to be a counselor there and just has been such a good friend to me. And then the funny story is that Mike actually went to high school with my husband, Ryan. And so we all knew Michael before we knew each other. So what was it like, Mike, to see Ryan Koontz and Sarah Strand get together and get married? I bet that was interesting.
Well, I tell you, Sarah, it was like destiny aligned, you know, where you see all of these different parts of your life converging together in God's perfect timing. It was pretty fantastic to think about seeing, like you had mentioned, one of my high school classmates marrying a dear friend that was a part of a Bible study in our home. And so to see how God orchestrated those converging of two paths was just an awesome experience. So it was really cool, Sarah.
Yeah. And so Mike and I have been walking parallel paths for the past 4 or 5 years as Mike is in full-time men's ministry, and he has been for a lot longer than me, as I am in full-time women's ministry. And so when Ryan and I felt the Lord asking us, leading us towards a nonprofit ministry, one of the first things you have to do is set up a board of directors. And it kind of feels like a backwards process because you have to collect a group of people who are willing to help you lead something that doesn't yet exist. And so it has been so wonderful to have Michael on our board of directors as he has ministry experience. He has started his own nonprofit and now he works with a men's ministry called Cave Time. He's the executive director for that ministry, and he'll tell you guys a little bit more about that later. And it's just been so fun to grow up and to be able to walk with somebody who used to be a mentor. He has counseled me. He has walked with Ryan and I and been a dear friend. And now we're ministry partners. And it's what's fun to see is how God directs us all on a unique path, but yet how our paths sometimes parallel certain people. And it's just important that we have one another. So a little bit more about Michael. He is a man passionately devoted to the many roles God has placed in his life. He's a counselor, teacher, speaker, husband, father, son, friend, and co-author. He's committed to working out his dependency first in his own home and with his best friend and wife, Leah, who is a good friend. Actually, Leah used to work for my dad at the same time I worked for my dad, so we have a really good connection. And Mike and Leah and their daughters, we all attend the same church here locally. So there's a lot of ties between our family and his. And he desires his life to bring glory to his King alone and to be a testimony of God's love, God's strength, and God's honor in the lives of today's men. Hello, Michael. I'm so happy to have you joining us for this call, and I would just love for you to take a few minutes to introduce yourself and tell your prayer partners more about your family and the work you do at Cave Time.
Oh, Sarah, it is such an honor to join you. And as you've alluded to already, my wife, Leah, we will have been married for 22 years this July. So we are sneaking right up on 22 years of marriage together. And it has been a fantastic journey. One of the things that I am passionate about is my wife. She literally is my best friend, my strongest cheerleader in the ministry. And the Lord has seen fit to bless us with the opportunity to raise up three daughters. So I live in a house full of women, and that is a big part of why the men's ministry element has kindled in my heart, because I figure that there are men on this planet that one day will potentially be our daughters' husbands. And so if I can be a part of making the building of better men on this planet a reality, through the discipleship of, we'll talk about cave time a bit more, but if I can be a part of that process and prepare these young men to protect and cherish the hearts of my daughters, I am all in. And so that has led me to, again, as you said, I started a men's ministry a number of years ago, and as of just 3 years ago, joined the ranks of Cave Time. Cave Time has been around since 2011. And has been an international men's ministry that has honed in on five different disciplines, one of which we'll practice together today. And so those five disciplines that we have and that we infuse into the building of better men all over the world is that a man has to show up. A man has to show up, has to spend time in worship, has to spend time in prayer, has to spend time engaging God's word, and celebrating community. So those are the five tenets of the discipline that we train into the hearts of men, like I said, all over the world. So as you can see, one of the disciplines that we train into the hearts of men is prayer. And so when Sarah asked for the opportunity to come alongside and simply pray together and talk through the power of prayer in ministry, I was excited to do this.
Well, I couldn't agree more about this privilege of praying together. Prayer is something that the Lord has been teaching me a lot about lately, and I know that that is why it's been a desire of mine to create this 31 Days of Prayer and to encourage people to daily commit time to prayer, but also to infuse our prayers with scripture yes. And praying through God's word, because a lot of times we don't know what to say and we don't know what to pray. And so one of the things we've been really trying to teach our community through this process is how to pray through scripture. And I would just love it. I've asked Michael to just prepare a little brief prayer testimonial or lesson and share what God is teaching him about prayer, the importance of prayer in his life, especially during this difficult and uncertain season we are all walking through. So Mike, I'd love to hear what God's put on your heart to share with our listeners today.
I love it. Thank you, Sarah. Part of my story, and especially in the area of prayer, is that there is a strong performance drive that is an Achilles heel in my flesh patterns, to where I want to perform. I want to make sure that the words come out right. I want to make sure that all of those things are in place. And that has an element of shackling one's prayer life. And so to think about how God has moved and transitioned my mindset and my experience of prayer to one of simply conversation with one who loves you deeply. I think about the conversations that we have, Sarah, where there's no element of performance, or I got to make sure that I say these things right for Sarah, because we're friends. We're dear friends. I would say we are to the point of brothers and sisters in our walk of this life. And so to think about talking with a dear friend, that's easy. Conversations are easy to be had when we have the right heart posture towards the hearer. And so when the Lord started moving my heart into that direction, out of a performance and into a relationship of sweet fellowship with the King that loves me deeply, it absolutely launched my prayer life into the next stratosphere, because the performance shackles fell away to where I could simply talk to a dear friend. Now, with all of that, there's an element of reverence that's had as well. There's an element of I come and recognize the weightiness of entering the throne room of the one who has created all things. So there is that weightiness, but it's coupled with the second side of the same coin is that he loves to hear from me. One of the things that really trips our men up and has for me as well is, well, I want to make sure I pray God's will. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure I pray what is accurate to his desires and his agenda. I don't want my agenda to be the driving force behind the words that I bring before him in the throne room. And guess what? When we pray his word back to him, we are consistently and always praying his will. One of my favorite people to look into, and you know this well, is David. Mm-hmm. And how David interacted with his God, how David interacted with Yahweh. And what you'll see so many times, and you can see this all through the Psalms, is that he would come to him with despair. The enemies would be crushing in. The viruses would be going in a pandemic style across the world, as David saw it. And yet, every single time you see that he, as he enters into prayer, he starts bringing words back to the Father, his heart is elevated by the end. His heart is moved to a place of worship of this one true king who has opened his throne room to hear David's cries, to hear David's requests. And so when I hear about Living by Design, doing a 31 days of prayer, I get excited about, again, partnering with this ministry as we are moving in the same direction together, saying, let's make sure that we're committed to prayer.
Absolutely. You know, when I hear you talking about David, it reminds me of the study I wrote last year called Pray Like David. And it was a study where I paralleled the life of David with the Psalms of David. And yes, I took people through the story, and you know, cause you get to read all our studies before they come out, but it was just amazing to watch his life course and then to see his prayers connected to the incidences that he was dealing with. Yes. And throughout that study, yeah, the process was to read the Psalms and pray them back. And for me, putting that together was a real boost in my own prayer life, because I found that I had a model for prayer yes, within scripture, and I didn't feel so alone, and I didn't feel like I had to worry so much about how to do it, because I could just follow David's example. And I think that that's a great thing. That's a great thing for us to learn. And that's what we're doing here as we pray. And we're going to be just moving into our time of prayer next. And Mike and I are just eager to be praying together for our listeners, for anyone who takes the time to listen to this call, for the people who are participating in our 31 days of prayer. The reason that we decided to add these prayer calls was because I want to pray for you. And this is the way that I get to do that. And so we're going to be speaking God's truth over your life. We're going to be praying scripture over your life and asking God to intervene in your circumstances. He knows. He knows the challenges that you are facing, the struggles that you have, and he is with you. And so our hope is that as we join together in prayer, that our spirits will be encouraged and that we'll come, we'll bring our problems, we'll lay them at the foot of the cross, and we'll walk away lighter and with hope and peace. And so if you'd like to follow along, we are going to be praying through prayer points 19 through 24 on our 31 days of prayer calendar today. So Mike, let's pray.
I'm ready.
All right. Colossians 3:13 says, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Let's pray together for the ability to give and receive forgiveness. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm just grateful for the opportunity and the privilege to come before you today and ask you for the courage to believe your promises. We ask you to help us understand what it means to receive forgiveness from you and to freely extend it to others. And especially in this season when many of us are isolated, we are stuck in small spaces with our family members, we're trying to do work and school, and we're experiencing stress that we are unfamiliar with. And we just ask you to give us supernatural ability to bear with one another, to have patience, to have peace, and to choose the path of peace and joy in our homes. Give us endurance. Give us grace for our spouses, for our children, for our extended family members, and for our larger network as well, as many people are taking many different approaches to this challenging time. Give us strength to bear with one another and to bring glory to your name. Soften our hearts towards each other and give us the ability to see how important it is to walk in forgiveness, but also to establish healthy boundaries, to strengthen and fortify our relationships with each other, and to just walk as Jesus walked, and to let him be our example and also our strength in this act of forgiveness. May we learn to forgive because we've been forgiven so much. You have done everything on our behalf. And when we forgive, we are only giving a small measure of what we have received. And so we ask you to give us the ability to love because we've been loved. And as we draw near to you, to bring our pain and our hurt to you when we are offended or carelessly treated, and to find your healing and your strength and your wisdom to proceed, so that we can still live in forgiveness when we're interacting with people who are imperfect, because you are our healer and our provider. And we trust you as our Heavenly Father, our faithful friend, to give us the ability to walk in forgiveness even when it's hard. And we thank you. We thank you for the forgiveness that you have given us.
Amen. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, we come before you again today, and we want to reiterate your word back to you. Just like you said through John, that if we confess our sins, you are faithful. And you are just. And what you will do is you will forgive. Your promise says that you will forgive us. You will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You will give us the strength to defeat besetting sins that hold and keep us entangled in this world. Lord God, as these listeners are joining their hearts with us, even now in this moment, I pray that you would bring those subtle areas that the enemy has ground in their life. The subtle areas that their mind's eye would say, it's not that big of a deal. It's just a minimal thing in the grand scheme. Lord, I pray that you would shine your light directly on those areas, even now as we pray.
James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Lord, we ask for strength and wisdom as we seek to resist the devil in our daily lives. Help us to foster a right relationship with you, Lord, and to come to see you for who you are, so that we can see our enemy for who he is, and that we can understand that he is the great deceiver and he is the one who stands against you in all things, who is absolutely contrary to who you are, and who desires to tempt us to walk in disobedience to you. And finally, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command Satan to flee from our presence. And we know that because of who Jesus is, and because of the power of his name, and because we are your children and we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, that we have the ability and the authority to command Satan and his minions to flee from our presence, from our homes, from our thoughts, and from our lives. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would put a shield of protection around our homes, and that the enemy would not be allowed to enter, and that we would be safe in these spaces to worship you and to love you and to reflect you, and that we would have peace in our homes, and that we would have the ability to resist evil and to walk in freedom.
Yes. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Lord Jesus, I do. I pray exactly that we would be empowered by your Spirit to grow in the grace and the knowledge, that you would engage both our spirit and our mind to know you better, to see your reflection in our life better, that when we look into the mirror, that it would not be dim, but it would be a crystal clear picture. We would see more and more of you as you reveal yourself, specifically through your word. Lord, I know so many times that I can get caught up in the circumstance of the moment. I can get caught up in whatever the throes of the current chaos is. And Lord, I know that you are calling us as your sons and as your daughters to slow things down, to witness and see, observe, taste, and feel that you are good. And Lord, I just pray also that as we spend time in your word, that you would penetrate it deep into our minds, that we would think biblically. And Lord, as this scripture says, we want to be about giving you all the glory. Now and in the day of eternity, now and forevermore, we want to declare holy, 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 that would be our posture, that our heart would bow to that in submission to say that you and you alone are holy. Thank you for your grace in our life. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Lord, I just pray that you would empower us to grow in grace.
2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 7 says, "So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight." Lord, I just pray that you would give us the ability to walk by faith. Lord, it's so easy to be distracted by what we see and to forget to look for what you are doing in the unseen realm. Lord, I ask you to give us the ability to live every day in light of eternity. Lord, would you draw us into your presence, and would you give us this ability to say, "So we are always of good courage," that we would find our hope, our courage, and our strength in you, and that we would have the ability to live lives that are defined by our faith. And by faith, as we walk with confidence in you and trusting you and we depend on you for all things, that our lives would be a living example of the kind of life you created us all to live, because you created us to be in relationship with you and to be a living reflection of your character upon this earth and to reflect your rule. Lord, you have put the hope of eternity in our lives and in our hearts, and you created us to live in intimate relationship with you for all of eternity, Lord. And as we are walking in our lives here on this earth, give us faith to see what you are doing, to see who you are, and to believe that you have a plan and a purpose for us. And so I just ask you to draw us near to you and to remind us of your grace and your mercy and your love, and so that we can walk and our lives can be defined by our faith. And when people look at us, they will see you at work in us, and they will be inspired to put their trust in you as well, because you are the author and the perfecter of our faith.
1 Timothy 4 verse 12 says, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." Lord Jesus, thank you so much again for your word and how the application for this is spot on for where we find ourselves today. Your word says that our confidence is not to come from our age, but our confidence comes from the ability for you to live your life through us in our speech, in our conduct, in our love, in our faith, in our purity. Lord God, I pray that for our people. I pray that for us, that you would empower us to be an example. You would empower us to be an example in the words that we say. I love how your word says a word spoken in right circumstances is like apples of gold among settings of silver. Let us loose apples of gold with our tongue. Let us build up with our tongue and our speech. I pray now that if there is something that we would dare to utter that is not of you, that you would quiet our mouths and you'd only allow us to say again that which edifies, builds up, restores, brings life. Lord God, I pray for our example of our conduct, the behavior that we choose to be a part of, the decisions that we make, how we conduct ourselves in the public eye and in the private eye, that you would empower us to be that example, like we said, not only when the doors are open, but when the doors are closed as well. Lord, I know your word says that perfect love casts out fear. I know that your word says that you are love. And so, Lord, what this is saying and what I see in this text is that the example is to put you on display through our lives, to love others well, to love others sacrificially, to love others as you, Jesus, did perfectly in your laying down of your life on our behalf. Teach us how to love. And Lord, I pray that you would give us the gift of faith. Your word says that it is a gift from you. Lord, so we just pray for that gift. We pray that you would give us your gift of the portion faith that you have for Sarah, for me, for our listeners, that you would absolutely loose that faith into our lives and let it be on display for the world to be encouraged. And lastly, purity. Lord Jesus, we just pray that you would allow us the empowerment to be an example of purity, that this is how we treat one another. This is how we think towards one another. This is how we, in purity, love our brothers and sisters. So Lord, empower us to do so. Empower us to be the example that you called us to for your glory and for our good. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother, for joining me in prayer today. It was just such a joy.
Absolutely. My pleasure. And I love getting to partner with you and see how God continues to bring glory to his name through our efforts. So thank you for this, Sarah.
Yeah. So in closing, you guys, we have just 1 week left of our 31 days of prayer. And I want to challenge you, persevere to the very end and find strength in the words of 1 Corinthians 15:57-58. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. And just to wrap up our time together today, I want to leave you with some encouraging words from one of my favorite authors on the topic of prayer, Andrew Murray. He says, "God rules the world by the prayers of his saints. Prayer is the power by which Satan is conquered. By prayer, the church on earth has disposal of the powers of the heavenly world."